Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the Lord of Israel, who comes to set us free, the mighty Savior who comes to show mercy, the dawn from on high who guides us into peace. Amen. Let us come before God in confession.
To you, O God, we lift up our souls.
You know us through and through. We confess our sins to you. Remember not our sins. Remember us with your steadfast love. Show us your ways. Teach us your paths. And lead us in justice and truth. For the sake of your goodness in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Children of God, come with joy and draw water from the well of salvation. Remember the gift of baptism. Your sin is washed away in the name of Jesus. You belong to Christ. You are anointed to serve. Stand up and raise your heads. The reign of God is near. Amen. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Good morning. Our first Sunday in Advent, our theme is Emmanuel, our hope. And we are going to read a reading from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 and 6 through 7.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let us pray. Today we light this candle of hope. We pray that during this Advent season, you will open our hearts and minds to the promises you have made us. Help us to remain hopeful. Amen.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. Be your merciful protection. Alert us to the threatening dangers of our sins. And redeem us for your life of justice. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. A reading from Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And in those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. A reading from 1 Thessalonians. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Word of God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then Jesus told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You guys like these flowers? Which one is your favorite?
The red one.
The red ones, like these right here?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. Which one is your favorite? Do you have a favorite? If you have a favorite, come to me and I'll point it out and I'll give you one. My goodness, we have a lot of kids here this morning. Which one's your favorite? Don't eat them though, okay? There you go. There you go, Arthur. You want that? You like the white one? Parents, since you're up here, help your kids find a flower that they like. Are these, which color do you like? You like the white one? You can have that one. Isn't that pretty? Arthur, just hold on to that, buddy. You can have that. You can give it to your mom. How's that sound? Which one do you like? Do you like that white one too? All right. Which one do you think Noah might like? Elena, which one do you like? That red one? Okay. Here, let me give you one of these. So why do you think I'm giving these flowers away? Which one would you like? What color does your mom like? Red or white? Huh? You want to give that to your mama? Yeah. So are these flowers going to last? Do they have any roots? Huh? They're not, are they? So we can only enjoy these flowers for a little while. You know what? That's kind of like our life. Our life, the Bible teaches us that our life comes and our life goes. It teaches us that we are like the grass, that the grass thrives during the day, but in the evening it fades and withers. And that's the truth about our lives, right? But that doesn't mean that we should be hopeless or afraid. Because we have one who holds on to our life, and his name is Jesus. He's the one coming into the world. He's the one who was born on Christmas. He's the one that all these preparations are made for. So that when he comes, we're ready. We're ready to meet him as he comes to meet us. He holds on to our life, and so even though our life comes and our life goes, even though our life withers and fades, like these flowers, our life is held in the hands of Jesus. And therefore, we don't have to be afraid. But we can trust him. We can trust him for life beyond this world. Should we pray? Jesus, thank you for your words of hope. Thank you for coming to be with us. Thank you for the beauty of these flowers, for the beauty of this earth, for the beauty of this season. Lord, even though it's fleeting, it reminds us that you are near, that you are coming. So draw near to us each and every day, that we might build our lives on you, the one who is the author, the giver, the redeemer, and the keeper of our lives. We pray in his holy name. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the beginning of Luke's gospel, all hope abounds. John the Baptist has broken onto the scene and is pointing to one who is greater than he, one who he tells us he is not worthy to stoop down and untie his sandal. Prepare the way of the Lord, John proclaims. Make his path straight. Every valley will be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The salvation of God seemed, so near in the beginning of this gospel. We'll hear more from John in the next couple of weeks. Now, however, 18 chapters later, 3 years later, the walls of the temple are shaking. It now seems as though the apocalypse or the end is, so near. The day will come, Jesus says, when not one stone of that temple in Jerusalem will be left upon another. All will be thrown down. Beware that you are not led astray, he warns. For many will come in my name and say, I am he, and the time is near. Do not go after them. In today's text, not only are the walls of the temple shaking, but the heavens and the earth, Jesus says, will be shaken. There will be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars, and on earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the waves and the seas. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Since chapter 20, Jesus has been encouraging his disciples to give to the world, to surrender to the world what is the world's, and to give to God, to surrender to God what is God's. That is a hard message to hear and accept as people of flesh. It has difficulty, that message has difficulty penetrating, as my father used to say, penetrating our thick skulls. We want to put our trust in the things of this world. But God is the only one, the one and the only one worthy of our trust and our hope for the future. We build houses and cathedrals and skyscrapers, and we somehow think that they will last, that they will stand. And yet, as we've seen over the last several years, humans bent on terrorizing one another, hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, and fires destroy what we build. They destroy in a matter of moments what takes years for human hands to put together. We build our lives thinking that this is the pinnacle of our ability and our status. And yet our lives, too, are fragile and volatile. Our lives, too, are delicate and unpredictable. And Jesus wants to move us from a false, flimsy fabrication of our own making onto a platform of bedrock, onto a foundation that is solid and unshakable. Jesus sits with his shell-shocked disciples in the temple precincts, sensing the profound disturbance at his words, that this marvelous place of holiness and beauty will soon lie in rubble. But then he points them to this larger cataclysm that will shake the whole earth as eternity finally sears into time. We've been there with the disciples, haven't we? We've been there as natural disasters. These natural disasters that I just talked about continue to astonish us with their power and their fury. We've been there with the disciples when we sense the shifting sands of our own lives, as relationships teeter and totter, as the economy shifts beneath our feet, as we face months when the ends won't meet, when a diagnosis comes, or worse, when death steals the last breath of our loved ones. Jesus wants to lead us to a deeper truth. He wants to lead us to one who is trustworthy and to a trust that goes beyond a trust in things of this world, of things that will fail and fall. Famed psychiatrist Viktor Frankl remembered a terrible day during World War II. He was a young Jew who was on a work gang just outside of the fences that hid the horrors of Hitler's infamous Dachau death camp. We were at work in a trench, Frankl wrote. The dawn was gray around us. Gray was the sky above. Gray the snow in the pale light of dawn. Gray rags in which my fellow prisoners were clad, and gray their faces. Frankl tells how he was ready to die. It was as if the gray bleakness had claws that, and each moment they dug deeper and colder into his soul. Why go on? What could be the purpose of living if indeed he was even still alive at this moment? All hope had eroded. There was no heaven, no hell, no future, no past, only the clutching grayness of this miserable moment. Suddenly, to his surprise, Frankl felt a last violent protest. Surging within himself, he sensed that even though his body had given up and his mind had accepted defeat, his inner spirit was taking flight. It was searching, it was looking, it was scanning the eternal horizons for the faintest glimmer that said his fleeting life had some divine purpose. It was looking for God. In a single instant, two things happened, says Frankl, that simply could not be mere coincidence. Within, he heard a powerful cry, piercing the gloom and tearing at the icy claws of death. The voice shouted yes against the no of defeat and the gray I don't know of the moment. At that exact second, a light was lit in the distant farmhouse. Like a beacon, it called attention to itself. It spoke of life, warmth, family, of love. And Frankl said that in that moment he began to believe. And in that moment he began to live again. Hope was reborn. This hopelessness experience, this experience of hopelessness was also real for God's people in exile. I shared this story at the funeral yesterday, the funeral of our brother Com, from Zechariah chapter 8. The prophet Zechariah is sent to the people, a people who had been deported from their beloved homeland, a people who could not see a favorable future, a people who had lost all hope. God says to the people through Zechariah, thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the faithful city, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts shall be called the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with staff in hand because of their great age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, even though it seems impossible to the remnant of this people in these days, should it also seem impossible to me, says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. I will bring them to live in Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God in faithfulness and righteousness. What seems impossible for you? What seems impossible for you today? Where have you struggled to hold on to hope? What have you put your trust in that may very well be crumbling, failing, falling, and fading away? My friends, there is a deeper truth for us to hold on to. A truth beyond brick and mortar, a truth beyond crumbling relationships, a truth beyond the economy or politics, a truth beyond flesh and blood. And that truth is God's reign, a reign that is breaking in even as the world is breaking down. And in that reign, that kingdom, that God, and in that God, we have hope. Hope is reborn. For even though an abundant future may seem impossible in our eyes, in my eyes, your eyes or my eyes, should it also seem impossible to God? Absolutely not. Emmanuel, God with us, our hope. God has not abandoned this world. God has not abandoned a sin-shackled world of flesh and blood. But God has come to be with us. In His Son Jesus, God has come to heal us, to forgive us, to feed us, to redeem us, and to set us free to care for each other and the world that God loves in ways that reflect God's reign and God's kingdom now. Jesus' death and resurrection are God's assurance that love and life wins. In his book, Together in Christ, Erskine White tells this story. As some of you know, Fiorello LaGuardia was the mayor of New York during the Depression, a time of desperation for many. And he was quite a character. He would ride the city fire trucks, take entire orphanages to baseball games, and whenever the city newspaper went on strike, he would get on the radio and read the Sunday funnies to the children. One bitter, cold winter night in 1935, Mayor LaGuardia turned up in the night court that served the poorest ward in the city. He dismissed the judge for the evening and took over the bench himself. After he heard a few cases, a tattered old woman was brought before him, accused of stealing a loaf of bread. She told LaGuardia that her daughter's husband had deserted her. Her daughter was sick, and her grandchildren were starving. A time of desperation. But the shopkeeper from whom the bread was stolen insisted on pressing charges. "My store is in a very bad neighborhood, Your Honor," he said. She's got to be punished in order to teach other people a lesson. The mayor sighed. He turned to the old woman and said, "I've got to punish you. The law makes no exception. $10 or 10 days in jail." A desperation producing judgment and a desperate situation. But even as he spoke, LaGuardia was reaching into his pocket and pulling out a $10 bill. "Here is the woman's fine," he said. "And furthermore, I'm going to fine everyone in this courtroom 50 cents for living in a city where a person has to steal bread so that her grandchildren can eat. Mr. Bailiff, collect the fines and give them to the defendant." The following day, the New York Times reported that $47.50 was turned over to the bewildered old woman. It was given by the red-faced store owner. Some 70 petty criminals, people with traffic violations, and city policemen. And they all gave their mayor a standing ovation as they handed over their money. LaGuardia was living out the reign and the kingdom of God, not waiting for a distant land, but enacting it that day, enacting it in a desperate situation, showing that God was with them, was with the old woman. That's how it will be with God's world. Just when it seems that all hope is lost, and goodness and mercy shall never win, the great judge will come to set things right, deciding for the hungry and the meek of the earth. Yes, There is also an Advent promise for the nations of the world. In perplexity and distress, look up, Jesus says. Look up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Emmanuel, our hope. Amen.
As we await the coming of Christ, we pray in hope for the church, the world, and all of creation. We are so deeply thankful for the birth, life, sacrifice, and resurrection of Jesus on this first Advent Sunday and every single day of our lives. Lord, in your mercy, provide safety for our farmers and livestock, our first emergency responders, law enforcement, firemen, soldiers, and sailors as they perform their very dangerous jobs for our benefit. Lord, in your mercy, equip your church, merciful God. Secure our roots in the soil of your eternal world, your eternal word. Seize and ease our worries and remove our shame. Grow our faithfulness and let your steadfast love blossom among us. Lord, in your mercy, sustain your creation, holy God. Water the parched soil. Restore depleted fields. Send farmers, forest rangers, and gardeners to care for pine trees and wheat fields, gardens, and arboretums. Increase our love for the land. Lord, in your mercy, grow peace within us, abundant God. Raise up leaders in every community grounded in your justice and mercy. Increase their love for all people. Lord, in your mercy, feed the hungry, living God. Gather our harvest into a feast for our neighbors, immigrants, and refugees. Move us to nurture those who are bereaved and lonely. Empower those living with terminal or chronic illnesses and all who are sick. Lord, in your mercy, increase our joy, wondrous God. Plant thanksgiving in our hearts and multiply the good fruit of our outreach ministries and creation care programs. Guide us in our service to our local and global neighbors. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the physical, emotional, spiritual, and financial needs of the members and visitors today, and for the church worldwide, and particularly the first names of the saints that are listed in our bulletin. Rolf, Liam, baby Nora, Emil, Carmen, Karen, Dwayne, Ione, Elaine, Tim, Father, family of Bonnie, and the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Magdalenas. Missionaries Colin, Jenny, Joseph, and Amos. Lord, in your mercy. In thanksgiving, we remember all the saints who have died and now rest in your glory in the church triumphant. Hold us who mourn in the comfort of your eternal life and bring us to delight in the new life that you promise. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, confident that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we bring to you these prayers and those unspoken in the name of Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
During this Advent season, may God direct your ways in peace, make you abound in love for one another and for all, and strengthen your hearts until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.